1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show, the number one rated Phil Henry Show. No other is rated higher than us, especially here in the afternoon drive slot in Los Angeles, and of course across the country, early evenings, afternoons, whenever you hear The Phil Henry Show, we are on top, number one, kicking ass. Nancy Reagan says the extraordinary life she's led with former President Reagan, who suffers from Alzheimer's disease, makes it hard to cope with the progression of the illness. Mrs. Reagan's comments appear in the final section of I Love You, Ronnie, a collection of romantic letters written by Ronald Reagan to Nancy, whom he married in 1952. Published by Random House, the book goes on sale today. So we're going to get Margaret Gray on the line, who is a nationally syndicated columnist, has her own column, A Little Bird Told Me, and she is at the Solvang Street Fair today. And Margaret, thanks for joining us.
Phil, it's always a pleasure, and it really is wonderful here in Solvang. We're at the street fair. They have some arts and crafts. They also have, some wonderful paintings and things, and of course, some food and just a delightful time for everyone.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the book, I Love You, Ronnie, is written by Nancy Reagan. You have seen an advance broadside of this. You've seen some advance copies, some galleys.
Yes, and I will tell you, and I will tell your listeners, the book, I Love You, Ronnie, by Nancy Reagan, which features the intimate letters between herself and Ronald Reagan, it is hot. These love letters are important because they are a rare glimpse into the sexual and romantic dynamic of famous and wealthy people. We are all constantly asking the question, why do the famous and rich have better sex than middle class to lower class people? The reasons are clear now in the new Nancy Reagan book, I Love You, Ronnie. And I think that's the number one point I would make, Phil.
That the book tells people about how exciting the sex lives of famous and wealthy people are?
Yes, I think so. I think it's because wealthy and famous people naturally have hotter, more vibrant, and more interesting sex than the rest of you do. And when I say the rest of you, Phil, I mean your listeners and you and people who haven't lived in that rarefied air. That is important. And let me tell you,
You say you've read it's hot.
It is hot, Phil.
What is hot about it?
It's very locker room. It's very, very visceral. It is very intimate. It's courageous of the former First Lady to put her intimate communications with a former president into print. It's not for everyone. It is sizzling stuff. It is graphic. It is raw and sensual and fleshy.
Well, let me ask something.
Yes.
When you say that it's raw and graphic and sensual, I'm thinking of some writers, Jacqueline Suzanne. Jackie Collins, is it similar to that?
You know, Phil, I know Jackie's work. This would make her blush.
Well, wait a minute. Are these love letters?
Yes, they're love letters, but they're more... There's some love in it, yes, but it's more what we did last night and just a lot of very, very real titillating stuff. I can tell you that I was fanning myself reading a lot of it.
Let's go to a chapter that you say is probably the most pivotal chapter in the book. So you're saying that this book, Ronnie, I Love You, Ronnie, the new book by Nancy Reagan, it has letters from the president to her?
Letters between them, Phil. From the president to her, from her to the president.
Okay. And this stuff is raw, graphic. You describe it as locker room stuff.
Yes. It's really not, I think, what one would think of when one thinks of love letters. But then we are talking about very famous, very wealthy, very well-to-do people. Their world, the world of the wealthy and the famous, is not your world and the people that listen to your show. Their world is hot, sexy, vibrant, alive. The world of the people who listen to your show, Phil, and understandably so, is, oh my God, I'm tired, let's do it, and maybe we'll have some more time tomorrow after the kids are in school. Can you just go ahead and finish so I can I can go to sleep? That kind of thing. But in the world of Nancy Reagan, in the world of Ronald Reagan, in the world of those people, It is locker room, bestial, hot stuff.
All right, let me go to chapter 6 here. You say that this chapter is the pivotal chapter in the book. It's called The Gipper Rides Again and Again and Again and Again. What is it about this?
Well, Phil, the first thing about this chapter is it's very interesting, and it gives hope to all Alzheimer's patients. Nancy describes that when Ron was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was absolutely devastating.
And I would imagine it would be for a couple.
Yes. And one of the things I think, Phil, if you know...
I have an ex-girlfriend whose father had Alzheimer's, and it was a very, very... It was a tough time for the family.
It is. And what I think is interesting, though, is the way they overcame it. And I will tell you something, Phil. I found myself sort of getting goosebumps and sort of rubbing my knees together a little bit when I read this sixth chapter. Listen to this.
Okay.
When Ron began to have Alzheimer's, she found that there was a side effect or a byproduct of the Alzheimer's. Ron didn't recognize Nancy when they had sex, and therefore he thought and continues to think to this day that it's a different woman every night. And it has made it raw and vibrant and locker room. And
Wait.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. The man's Alzheimer's, they are still having relations.
That's the word. That's the word that I'm getting here.
Okay, because he has Alzheimer's, he thinks he's making love to a different woman every night?
Because of his memory.
Yeah, but doesn't he remember who he's married to?
He knows that he's married to a woman named Nancy, but he hasn't seen her in a few years. In other words, I understand that he said he put a call into her, this, but the woman that keeps coming, he doesn't remember who she is. You see?
So he's making love to a different woman every night?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what he thinks. And,
well, what about his loyalty to Nancy? What about...
Well, he doesn't. He thinks that she's gone out. Is the best... You're dealing with an Alzheimer's patient, Phil, so a lot of this...
No, I know that we're dealing with an Alzheimer's patient, but he is... So he thinks she's gone out because he doesn't recognize who this woman is, even though it's her, and...
Yeah, and he also forgets that he made love, and she gets it... You know, this is another thing. He forgets that he even made love to her, so she'll get it 4 or 5 times in a night. Isn't that wonderful? And that is what we're talking
about. So he doesn't remember that he made love to her, so then he said, oh, I got to make love to...
I have to make love to... Here's another woman. I don't know who she is, but I like her, and it's time for me to have sex with her. As best as we know...
Yeah, because we don't know what's going through his mind.
No, we don't. But we do know that she writes in the book, it's a great byproduct. It's locker room stuff. It's real animal stuff, and...
The former president has Alzheimer's, and this is some real locker room rough sex that he's having with a woman who is his wife, but he doesn't remember it's his wife, so he thinks he's making love to 4 or 5 different women a day.
That is what my understanding is, yes. It's amazing, Phil. I Love You, Ronnie, by Nancy Reagan, the collected letters, will open your eyes and cause them to water.
All right, well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is on the line, author of A Little Bird Told Me, weekly, daily column, nationally syndicated column in 150 papers. She says she's seen an advanced galley on I Love You, Ronnie, the book from Nancy Reagan, collected letters between Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan. And one of the byproducts of his Alzheimer's is that he doesn't remember who his wife is, and so he thinks he's making love to 4 different women a day. She also mentions that this is a great glimpse into the intimate sex lives of wealthy and famous people who have far more exciting sex lives than we do. And let me ask you if you put yourself in that category, Margaret, or if...
Well, Phil, Frank, my husband I've been very fortunate. My husband is worth about $50 million. So to answer your question, no, I'm not middle class. To answer the obvious question that would be the follow-up, what's my sex life like? It's really none of your business.
Well, but Nancy Reagan has made hers everybody's business, according to you.
Yes, but it's interesting, and I think it's most historic.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I Love You, Ronnie. And also, Chapter 6 is entitled The Gipper Rides Again and Again and Again. And that's the part there where the Alzheimer's kicks in and he doesn't remember who he's making love to. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray is with us, who writes the column A Little Bird Told Me. And we're talking to her about the new book by Nancy Reagan. It's a book called I Love You, Ronnie. You may have heard of it. The book talks, it basically reprints love letters between her and Ronald Reagan, the president of the United States, the former president of the United States. Margaret Gray is with us. She has seen some advanced copies of this thing. You are describing it, Margaret, as music. Here is your, by the way, here's your theme music. As a book that is hot, it's locker room, it is... It's everything that, you know, that people would love in terms of sexual content, correct?
Yes.
Why the emphasis on that? Why do you suppose it's about that? Isn't there any romance? Isn't there any love?
Well, Phil, again, I have to remind you that when you are talking about very, very wealthy people and very famous people, sex is a very big part of what those of that lifestyle. It's how do I make you understand? I'm very Frank and I are worth $50 million. How do I make you understand this?
All right. Well, I'm not wealthy. So what is it that you're trying to communicate to me?
I'm rich. The Reagans are rich. Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson are rich. Rob Lowe was rich. Did you see the Tommy Lee video?
No, I did not.
All right. It's very hot, it's very locker room, it's very bestial, it is animal. They are behaving like pure animals on a yacht. Do you see where I'm going now?
Well, I know that they had the wherewithal to... So in other words...
This is the literary version of the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson video.
And all right, now it's I'm getting a little clear.
Yeah, are you getting clearer on this? Because I...
Yeah, but you don't need to talk down to me. I don't have the money that you have. I like to think that maybe I have... By the way, we should let everybody know, you're at the Solvang Street Fair?
Yes, the Solvang Street Fair, going through tomorrow.
All right, because I can hear you at... Are you at a booth?
I'm at a booth. I'm signing copies of my column. We're also here at a... there's cookies here and coffee.
Okay, so go ahead. So you are...
What I'm trying to say, Phil, is this. I'm wealthy. Frank's wealthy. Those of us who are wealthy and famous have good, hot sex every day, at least 4 or 5 times a day. Now, not every single day, 4 or 5 times a day, but Frank and I are very, very much involved actively sexually. You and the people that listen to your show most probably...
Well, you don't know who listens to my show, right? In other words...
No, I don't, but I know for a fact that mostly middle-class to lower-middle-class people listen to your program. You may have some wealthy people. They don't have that kind of sexual life that Nancy and Ron had. And so they have mediocre sex lives. And so that's what I'm trying to say. And trying to explain it to you, Phil, is very difficult because you are just one of those people.
You know, I always thought that I had an interesting life.
But we don't want to know about your life. We want to know about Ron and Nancy's.
Right, but if I had an interesting life...
You may think you have an interesting life, but you're a little man doing a little radio show. Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States of America. You've heard of the place. You live there. And as such, his sex life was a Roman candle, a fountain of passion and sweat and body odor and changing underwear and sheets. That's the kind of...
Okay.
But that's what we have in the book. And the listeners want to know about the powerful and the wealthy.
All right. I got to get a hold of this book, obviously, because...
Because it's hot.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. We're talking to Margaret Gray about the new book, I Love You, Ronnie, by Nancy Reagan. You also made the point that, you know, because he doesn't remember who she is, he is constantly thinking that he's making love to another woman. Is this some kind of curative for people with Alzheimer's?
That's the bright side of Alzheimer's, and that's what I think a lot of doctors are saying now, that, you know, if he doesn't remember who you are, go with it. If you're a woman and he doesn't remember who you are, go with that, because he obviously is going to think you're someone else, enjoy you as someone else, experience you as someone else, and eventually he may want to divorce you. And then you can say, all right, we're divorced. Then you'll make love to him again, and he'll see that you're still living there. Do you see what I'm saying? So he thinks he's divorced you, and yet he's making love to you and you alone each and every night.
Thinking you're someone else.
Yes. Thinking that you're someone else. That's what we find to be, I think, the most interesting aspect to this book, I Love You, Ronnie, by Nancy Reagan. Frank and I have a vibrant and wonderful sex life, but that's because Frank's worth $50 million. You and your wife, I don't want to know about your sex life, because I would be bored to living tears. You see, the paralysis would begin about mid-throat and drop to the floor. That's how I wouldn't be able to move. That's how dull your sex life would be to me. But
because Frank makes $50 million or whatever, I'm supposed to be enthralled about your sex life.
No, not this, but you would be. Because,
well, I don't want to know about your sex life, okay? But I'd like to know how you figure it's more interesting and exciting than my wife's. Other than the fact that your husband makes more money and is more wealthy and more famous, so therefore it's got to be more exciting. How is it better? And I don't want you to be graphic.
All right, that's what I'm trying to think. I can use words.
Use single words.
Rubber. Urine.
All right, I got it, okay?
No, but I'm beyond that, Phil. Dog. Well, it's two words.
Dog.
Yes. Floor. Couch. Garage floor. Back of car. You see what I'm saying, Phil? Or is it too tough for you?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Burlington on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm listening to this woman, and I'm getting a little upset. She alleges that since she has $50 million, that she and Frank have the greatest sex in the world.
Yes.
And that anybody else who doesn't have that kind of money doesn't have good sex.
Well, I'm saying that wealthy people can relax into sex because we don't have to get up as early. We don't have the same tensions and pressures, some brat at the door that needs a bottle, etc.
Oh, that's so hard to accept.
No, if you think about it, you know how children can interrupt a sexual contact. If
no.
You have a nanny, if you have a maid, if you have a butler, you see?
All right, hold the line, ma'am. We'll get back to you, and you too, Margaret. We'll take some calls for Margaret Gray. 1-800-449... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Ma'am, are you still there? In Burlington?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I got ahead of myself. I keep thinking we're breaking at 27 and we're breaking at 29. Margaret, are you there? Margaret Gray, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay.
Oh, I thought she ran off to have good sex with a husband.
You know something? What I'm trying to sex among the wealthy, and I'm using myself as an example, I'm not trying to say I'm better than the Reagans.
But you're saying you're better than us.
No, I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying, yes, we have better sex than you.
That's so far-fetched.
Why is that far-fetched? I gave you all the reasons. Nannies, butlers, cooks, maids.
I'm not having sex with a nanny or a butler. I'm having
but
sex
what if the
with
child
my
interrupts?
Husband.
What if your children interrupt you? A nanny won't let that happen. A butler would rather die than let one of your kids interrupt you, you know, getting...
Oh, I'm sure of that. However, my husband and I do not have any children by choice, and we have the greatest sex, whether it's in the living room...
Yes, to you,
my
it's
kitchen
good.
Stove.
It's good to you, but compared to Ron and Nancy... See, we can afford expensive sexual devices.
No, honey, I'm sorry. I can't accept that.
We can afford leather corsets. You can't.
No.
See what I'm saying, darling? I know. Listen, you have a great life and a great marriage. I believe that. I believe that you think you get great sex from your husband.
I know.
Compared to the way Ron gives it to Nancy,
would you please maybe have a little bit more of a respectful tone? We're talking to about a former president and a former first lady.
What did I do? In other words,
when you say with the way Ron gives it to Nancy, okay?
Exactly.
And this whole thing about him having Alzheimer's, not remembering who she is. All right, thank you for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Four four nine eight six eight six. Live from the Solvang Street Fair, Margaret Gray, author of A Little Bird Told Me, the syndicated columnist. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry. Margaret is on the line with us. We're talking about a new book from Nancy Reagan called I Love You, Ronnie, a book of collected romantic letters written by Ronald Reagan to Nancy Reagan, whom he married in 1952. It's published by Random House. The book is on sale today. You say it's some of the hottest stuff you've ever seen. You say that it is absolutely scintillating, sizzling, sexual stuff.
Absolutely, Phil, and I think it's a tremendous read. I'm just warning the listeners.
And in the chapter, The Gipper Rides Again, Ronald Reagan doesn't remember who Nancy is, so he thinks he's making love to five different women in one day.
Yes, yes. As nuts as that is, that's the nutty world of the wealthy and the nutty world of their sex. Now, I know a lot of your listeners are asking the question, why is it that wealthy people have better sex than poor people?
Well, there are a lot of questions that we would ask. Why would you say that a wealthy person would enjoy their sex life more than someone of middle class or poor roots?
First of all, Phil, it's health care. A wealthy person can afford to go to a doctor, get shots from whatever disease he or she or the two of them may contract from an animal, from a plant, from something, a piece of furniture. A poor person can't afford the health care, so they're wary of who they want to sleep with and how they want to do it. And what is that? Is it a broom handle, etc.? The gentleman in New York who got a broom handle from the NYPD, he would ordinarily never try that. Because
no kidding. The guy got raped by those guys, okay? It's a sexual assault.
No, I know that, but I'm saying that Ron and Nancy, you could see them using a broom handle if they wanted to. Frank and I, you know...
Do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind, Margaret.
Yes.
Would you not bring up your life, your sex life? You know, because...
Well, I mean, we're wealthy.
I got that you're wealthy. I just don't want to hear about it. You and Frank, I happen to know he's 22 years older than you, in a wheelchair, with oxygen.
Yeah, and he can still get that thing, like, he can get that, oh, boy. Yeah, now you're pissing me off. Because
I understand that he still can perform.
He brings lumber.
Okay, great. But I happen to know he's still in a wheelchair. Here is Council Bluffs on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I do not know who this woman is or where she comes from. I've never heard of her in
I'm
my
Margaret
life.
Gray. I'm from Santa Monica, California.
Well, it kind of sounds like out there with the fruits and the nuts.
Isn't that original? That's very original. We haven't heard that one before.
Oh, I know.
Right, Margaret,
I know.
Let the lady say what she's
going
to say.
Well, you see, we're a little slow in the Midwest here.
And, no, well, I didn't say that. Frank's
I'm
family
going
is
to
from,
tell you that
Frank's
that is
family's
the most,
from Omaha.
This book is full of nothing but romantic letters.
Absolutely.
And it is romance without sex. And what
well,
you are saying about her, them having the
read
kind of
between
sex
the
that
lines.
You're talking about.
Read between the lines. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm
surprised
that you...
I don't have to read between the lines. I take it literal. It is true love. It's
absolutely.
Very romantic.
I don't disagree.
Between two people that were very, very deeply in love. I am not a Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan fan, but I can tell you that these letters are beautiful.
Are you
beautiful.
Wealthy? Are you wealthy?
No, I am not
all right,
wealthy,
so you
and
don't
I have
know.
Had good sex in my life, but my husband has passed away.
Well,
not
then you're not exactly getting the best right now, and that's what I'm saying. You're not a wealthy woman, and it's sort of, you know, you're stuck in neutral a little bit. Ron and Nancy, you know, you see what I'm saying?
I was on my way home from the grocery store when I heard all of this going on, and
right.
I have groceries to carry in the house. I am on a cell phone. I'm
are
going to
them,
hang up now
any
because
of them
I am tired of listening
cucumber?
To you. And I'm not going to
come
listen
on, be honest
to you anymore.
Me. Be
goodbye.
Honest with me. Are any of them cucumbers? Let's see. She doesn't want to answer that. She's a widow. She's living alone. And
we got it. Are any of them cucumbers?
That's all. And that's really what we're talking about, Phil. You're middle class. You're elderly. You live in the Midwest. The wind is blowing across the prairie. Your husband's dead, and you're not worth anywhere near $20 million. You know, you start shopping a little bit more frequently. You start visiting some of those produce bins. You ask the grocer, do you oil your cucumbers or not? These questions...
I got it already, okay? I understand. I realize you're trying to be delicate, but it's not necessary because we're talking about, as that lady said, the romantic love of two people.
One of whom happens to have Alzheimer's.
I got it, but it's the romantic love of two people. 1-800-449-8686, Victorville on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Yes, I just have a couple of brief comments. I think that love or sex pleasure.
And we are at the Solvang Street Fair. We're at the Solvang Street Fair. I just wanted people to know that.
Right.
Let me finish. All that is subjective, and just because you like leather corsets and you enjoy leather corsets does not mean that somebody else, poor or rich, does or does not. What you're saying, you're overgeneralizing, and it's totally subjective.
And
what you say is
good. You can't afford penicillin.
It's good for you, and it's not necessarily good for anybody who's poor or not poor.
Are you speaking from experience? I don't know. You're intellectualizing. What do you know?
The point is that you don't know what goes on in other people's bedrooms. How do you know what they think is good and excellent and terrific and hot and
Well, that's just it. That's what they
what
think.
Do you know?
That's what they think. I'm telling you what is. They may think they're having great sex, but let me tell you what. When you've got $50 million in the bank and you don't have to get up in the morning,
I think your $50 million has bored you and you're looking for extremes to make things better.
What about you,
darling? Okay, you can say no, and that's okay.
Well, what about you?
How much are you worth? I don't. That is irrelevant.
Well, here's a very good question for you then. Are you afraid of getting a disease?
AIDS. I don't care how rich you are. There is no cure
there
for
you go.
AIDS, sweetheart.
There you go. Are you afraid of getting gonorrhea?
It's called being healthy.
Have you ever had gonorrhea?
No.
I have, and let me tell you.
Oh, well, I'm so happy
for
you.
Congratulations. I'm not proud of it.
What are you talking about?
If you can't afford iron cages and stainless steel crosses, your love life must really, really suck.
How do you know?
You haven't
experienced
that which is rare and that which is
unusual. Just because you say you have a terrific love life means you have one. I am of the opinion that you don't, that you're bored to tears.
Well, I'm of the opinion that you don't have one because you haven't talked about yours. Now, I had gonorrhea 3 times in the 70s.
Do you realize that this makes you sound like some kind of a whore?
How dare you?
Well, you're the one that said you had gonorrhea 3 times in the 70s.
I'm trying to illustrate a point to this woman. I've been there. I've done it.
Yeah, you've been there and been there and been there, and that's why you're going to extremes.
Well, I'm rich. You're not.
I'm sorry for you. If in order to have your type of sex life, it means you're rich,
I'd rather
be a
pauper. Can you afford ampicillin? Can you afford ampicillin? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
I have very good health insurance. And it doesn't matter what kind of bank account you have. You're just not getting it.
Thank you, ma'am, for your call. I couldn't agree more. I think that to say that people,
What are you trying to say, Phil?
People who have money.
Go ahead.
Now you're rushing me, okay?
Yeah. What is it you're trying to say?
People who have money don't necessarily have better sex lives than people who don't have money. We're talking about the book "I Love You, Ronnie," Nancy Reagan's new publishing of letters between her and Ronald Reagan. The last lady. It's romantic love.
It is. It's romantic, Phil. But you got to read me, and I'll bet that woman I just talked to can't afford to have a light bulb removed from her rear end, can she?
What has that got?
Can she? Can she afford to have a light bulb pulled out of her rear end? Yes or no? And until you can answer that question...
Why would that be expensive? And why, pray tell, would it be there in the first place?
I don't know. The point is, it's dangerous, it's delicate, it is a rare and very exotic pleasure, and only the wealthy can afford the tweezers, the forceps, the things that it takes, the rubbing alcohol, to remove a completely broken light bulb from one's rear end. And that's all I'm saying.
Good God, then I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't, because you don't understand it.
No, I don't understand it, but I don't want any part of it. Costa Mesa on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I don't understand what her philosophy is. Has she ever not heard of the fact that people can love people unconditionally? Women have sold their hair to buy a Christmas gift for their love, and their love has sacrificed something that was near and dear to them to buy a beautiful hair clip for someone.
Yes, but it's not that great compared to what rich people can buy.
It doesn't matter.
Yes,
you cannot put a price on love.
All right, I'll give you an example. And
no,
I just used
your examples are ludicrous.
No, you can't. If you can't get a light bulb pulled out of your rear end.
If you need to put a light bulb in somebody's rear end to make love, there's something desperately wrong with you.
Right. Oh, so you're judging now. So you're judging. You told me not to judge, and now you're judging.
I am not judging you. I'm just saying it's wrong.
Oh, see? That's what I'm saying, Phil.
How
wrong
is that judging?
Is another word for more fun. Wrong is another word for more fun. The wealthy can stick light bulbs up their rear ends. and have a doctor.
Okay. I can't believe we're talking about this.
But you know what? Why would you need to put that up your rear end you're having such fantastic love, and if your husband can be a piece of lumber?
Darling, if you've never had a light bulb up your butt, then don't tell me what's good.
Butt is for other functions.
What the hell is someone going to do with a hair clip if they sold their hair? I don't get that.
But it's a gift of love.
What you just said?
You are so, like, totally...
No, why do you need a hair clip when you've sold it?
Don't you understand? I know what the lady's referring to. It's a very famous story. The husband gives and the wife gives. Remember? Is that the one you're talking about, ma'am?
Right.
My wife and I love that story.
It's the best.
Isn't that it's a little fairy tale for adults. Is that it?
You know what? You can be as cynical as you want, Margaret.
Yeah.
The point is, love is everlasting.
And there's a light bulb that's everlasting, too. It's the GE.
Okay.
You are twisted.
No, I'm saying...
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Unless we've had a light bulb stuck up our rear ends, we don't know love.
And why would you jeopardize your health just because you could afford the best doctors? You could get the best doctor, and he cannot cure cancer that has been created because you've been misusing your rectum.
That's a very good point.
Hello?
But I would go on to say this. Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan love each other, and they have had light bulbs up their rear end.
I don't need
That's
to know
what
that.
I'm saying.
You know what? You are really
okay.
defaming
you know, really,
one of the
really
greatest presidents we have.
You
he ended the Cold War.
He ended the Cold War, and he could turn a light on in his ass, too.
No, he's not electrical, Missy.
Yeah.
Hello?
Boy, what a complete and sick.
You're twisted.
Absolutely sick.
I have no idea what planet you are from.
I write a weekly column, I Know People. Ronald Reagan
ended
the Cold War.
I know people, too. I have met Ronald Reagan. I have met Richard Nixon.
Did he show you the light bulb in his rear end?
No,
you don't know him, do you?
It was at the Nixon Library. Hello?
All right.
Have you actually seen the light bulb in his rear end?
I'm saying that's what the wealthy do.
Oh, well, then I guess you and Frank,
wealthy.
Huh?
So that's what Bill Gates is doing?
We have a doctor at the house right now. What did you ask me, Phil?
Is that what Bill Gates is doing?
Do you have a doctor at the house now doing what?
In the world.
Getting the remnants of a light bulb out of Frank's rear end.
Right now?
Yes. And we can afford it, and he'll be fine. He'll get some bed rest.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
ma'am. Find better things to do with
your
time.
You got it. 1-800-449-8686.
Is this the end of the interview? I don't understand. Aren't there more calls?
Yeah, there's plenty more. I'm done with you, okay?
Well, aren't you you are uptight. You know, you're very uptight, Phil. Can I suggest a book? It's called...
I Love You, Ronnie.
Yeah, it's hot.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the Phil Hendry Show. And good evening, everybody. I'm Brian Sanders, and this is Love Songs. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you ladies and all of you guys out there. This is Love Songs, and this is where we dedicate songs to you and the people that you love. Love Songs on Clove Radio. KLOVE. Clove. We're glad you tuned in to Clove. Okay, hold on for just a minute.
That was me.
All right, I'm told now that that's actually K-Love. K-L-O-V. K-Love. Okay, I get it. All right. Because the card there said Clove. And I thought we were going to be doing maybe a show about cooking or something. All right, it's time for those love songs. And here's a song that we're going to dedicate to a girl by the name of Sue. And it's from her husband, Timmy. And he writes, "Dear Love Songs, I'd like to dedicate a record to my wife, Sue. She thought my face was a bar stool late one night, and ever since then, it's out of sight. I'd like to dedicate this to my wife, Sue, the greatest gal that money actually did buy at one time, but now we're married, so everything's fine. Well, Stu and Timmy, I'd like to dedicate this song to you, and we certainly hope that your marriage lasts a lot longer than the three that I've had. Here it is, Air Supply, on Love Songs, KLOVESONGS. Love Songs, and I'm going to talk meaninglessly until the vocal starts. Here on Love Songs for Sue, right here on the Brian O. Shoot. The best part of life is the
thinnest lies. All right, the record's on now.
We clear, man?
Yeah, the record's playing.
All right. Now we come back from this record, okay, because I got to hold on. I got to practice.
Love Songs, Love Songs. Love Song.
Give me another 40 ounce, man. It's going to do it. You better get that out of here, man. I don't want that, all right? Where are the donuts, too, that they promised me on this gig? And they also said I'd get some of that gourmet coffee, kind you grind up in a grinder. What's all that about, too?
Brian, we're doing the best we can.
Shut your mouth, man. All I ever had are white people lying to me. My whole life have been white people lying to me. I do this love song thing, and you cats have got Clove Radio, man. What's up with that? All right? Don't be thinking it's easy to do this damn deep white man's voice, too. I got to practice a little. Hold on for a minute, man.
Try and practice it.
That's what I'm going to do.
Love Songs. Love Songs on Clove.
Now, that's another thing, man. Who wrote Clove on the card, not K-Love, make me look like a dumbass? That's about people out there saying, there's a black man. There you go. Here you go. Another dumb black man.
All right, we're coming out, Brian. 3 seconds.
All right, man. Just don't bug me, okay?
That's one for Sue. And this is Love Songs. Isn't that a beautiful song? It's a song about love. Love Songs. Here's a fax that just come into Love Songs. I'm a member of the Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and was I mistaken when I heard a Negro's voice there during the commercial break? And by the way, I'd like to dedicate one to the other guys in my Klavan, whatever that is. I'd like to dedicate to all the guys in my Klan Klavan a beautiful song about how they inspire me each and every night as I get into my bunk and wait for Sherm to climb up there with me. I'd like to play this now for all of those guys. Hope you guys are listening wherever you're bowling tonight. Well, here it is, Sherm. Here's that song for the Klan Klavan out there, the Carolina Knights, the Ku Klux Klan. No, by the way, I'm not a black man. A great song now from Chicago on Clove Radio. Oh, I stepped on the vocal again.
God damn it, man. How come I step on the vocal and everything? That's blowing my mind. It's blowing my mind.
I don't know what happened, Ryan.
You don't know what happened, man. I'll tell you what happened. Y'all putting the wrong time on this thing, which means I'm stepping all over myself. I'll tell you right now, man. I'm getting tired of being lied to by white people and all that, okay?
Test out the voice. Make sure you haven't lost it.
Okay.
This is Brian Saunders with Love Songs.
Yeah, I got it, man. That's easy, okay? The gig pay, all right? I'm going to get out of here, too. I shouldn't even be here, man. The shift's supposed to start about 20 minutes ago. I'm doing a love song, man. I've been doing love song for 9 stinking hours, okay?
All right, come out.
Okay, there's a beautiful song. You're actually listening to The Phil Hendry Show. And you're not on Clove Radio. You may be on Cloves yourself. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's break, man.